Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, online at kpcg.fm and over the radio dial at 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area. Well, this is a preparation day, as every Friday is, for the weekly Sabbath day. And sometimes when things get really hectic around here at headquarters, a lot of people express how eager they are for this Sabbath day to take place. The Sabbath day is a memorial of creation. God created the seventh day Sabbath. It's also a picture of the millennium. The seven-day week can be extrapolated out to be a type of the 7,000-year plan for man. 6,000 years of man failing to rule himself, and then 1,000 years with Christ in charge after that. So the Sabbath really is just such an inspiring, refreshing day. Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong gave a Bible study on September 11th, 1981, all about the Sabbath day. And he starts out by talking about just how serious the problems in this world are. And even back then in the 80s, the threat of nuclear annihilation was very real. That was right around the time of the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. There obviously are much greater problems today. The threat to human survival is much more severe than it was back then. And obviously, when our failure to govern ourselves, when human beings have failed for so long, shouldn't we maybe just start thinking about why we keep failing? Aren't there things we should be doing to maybe avert these curses that God is placing upon us? This is what Mr. Armstrong talks about in the introduction to this Bible study. Again, that's September 11th, 1981. And from what I can tell, the title of the Bible study was simply The Sabbath. Here's what he says here. We are taking life too lightly. We are taking it too easily. We are not much concerned. We just think it's going along and we're going along with it. And it will keep going on this way. But brethren, it won't. We are living in very serious days right now. We need to be praying as never before. We need to be forgetting this world's pleasures, its entertainments, its pastimes. We need to be reading our Bibles more. We need to be thinking about the things of God and the things of the kingdom of God and devoting our lives to that instead of just being interested in the world and just taking time to come to a Bible study Friday night and a church service on the Sabbath. Then the rest of the time living in the world. Is that what we are doing? Of course, all I can do is remind you and tell you, but it's up to you whether the door is going to be slammed in your face or whether it won't. This directly ties in to the Sabbath day. This is part of the way we can conduct ourselves to be following God and escaping the punishment that is coming. The Sabbath day is a reminder to us of God being supreme in our lives. This is a day for reflection and study, and really a day we dedicate entirely to God. This is also God's great test point. The Sabbath day is a sign to all the entire world of who God's people is. Or who God's people are. Mr. Armstrong had to work really hard to prove the Sabbath day for himself. It was back in 1926 or 27, I believe, that he received a dual challenge. His wife, started to tell him that Christians have an obligation to keep the Sabbath day. At the same time, his sister-in-law started ridiculing him because he didn't believe in the theory of evolution. She called him ignorant for being supposedly so foolish as to think that there could be a creator. This sister-in-law was brainwashed at an educational institution of the world. It's no surprise that she became indoctrinated by the theory of evolution. So Mr. Armstrong really had to face this. His own wife was disagreeing with him, and another family member. This was humiliating to Mr. Armstrong. He had to really dig deep into this subject and figure out not what he wants to do about it, but what the truth is. He had to set aside his biases and search for the truth. Now, that is something that the vast majority of people never do in any area. And yet, Mr. Armstrong had to really get intense with this. He thought that his own marriage was at stake over this challenge. Here's what he said in this Bible study from 1981. You know, most people don't know why they believe what they do. How many of you ever inquired in retrospect how you came to believe what you do believe? But if someone doesn't agree with it, you'll bristle all up and you'll argue for your own convictions and your own ideas. You're sure it's right, whether it's right or wrong. You don't really know whether what you believe is right because you've never proved it. You've just accepted it. You have assumed it. You've taken it for granted because you've heard it from others. That is a condemning statement from Mr. Armstrong. And that really should convict all of us to put some deep thought into what we believe, especially because of how dangerous these times are and how it is so clear that human beings are a colossal failure in self-government. We can't seem to figure out the most basic ideas for simply coexisting with one another. And it just keeps getting worse and worse, even as we advance scientifically, technologically, educationally. The problems just keep getting worse and worse. We have to start looking inward, analyzing what we might be doing wrong. As Mr. Armstrong showed in this Bible study, the Sabbath is an important part of that. Here is what it says in Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. As Mr. Armstrong shows here, God didn't stop creating. He ended his creation by specifically creating the Sabbath day. As he says here, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, but he wasn't through creating. I was telling my Bible students at Imperial Academy this morning, it's similar to when we end our work day or end our school day. We might try to rush to get a few more things done that involve work before we go home. Maybe try to finish off a school assignment before we go home. It doesn't mean that we're done working or that we are done with our schooling for the day. It just means that we're finishing it up. So God finished that 7-day recreation week by actively creating the Sabbath. Actively resting on the Sabbath day, if you could call it that. And God doesn't even need rest, but he did that for us to follow that example. So Mr. Armstrong is here in this Bible study proving a specific point about the Sabbath day, and then he starts relating it to the entire law. The Sabbath day is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. It's part of the law of God, the law of love. And here's what Mr. Armstrong says about that. And just really listen to this. This is such a beautiful quote. The law of God tells you, though, how to have a relationship with God and how to have a relationship that is happy and profitable mutually with your neighbors and with other people. All of man's progress has been in the materialistic realm, and all of his troubles have been in the spiritual realm of getting along with other people. As I've said so many times, husband and wife can't get along. Parents and children can't get along together. Capital and labor don't get along together. Black and white don't get along together. Nation doesn't get along with nation. Neighbor can't get along with next door neighbor. Because we don't have the Spirit of God and the spiritual knowledge of God's law that would tell us how to get along with our neighbors and how to live with God. And the first four of the Ten Commandments of the law of God tell us how to have a relationship with God. And the last six tell us how to have a relationship with neighbor. The Bible isn't just some book to make us feel warm and fuzzy. It does get practical. It does give us real, specific, tangible ways to live that abundant life that Mr. Armstrong was just describing there. The way of life that leads to peace, even as races and nations and families are fighting amongst themselves all around us today. The Sabbath is part of that peaceful, beautiful way of life, so different from the world around us. Mark 2, verse 27 says that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is made specifically for human beings to connect with our Creator, to really just put away worldly cares and concerns and worries and focus on our relationship with our Creator. Humans were created on that sixth day, and then the Sabbath was created on the seventh day. There's a reason those two things were created so close together. It should be a sign to us that the Sabbath really is for us, like Mark 2 says. The Sabbath is the Lord's Day. You hear so much from traditional Christianity about the Lord's Day being on Sunday. And yet Mark 2, verse 28 says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That is the true rest day. That is the true day of worship toward God. This is some really rare and precious truth in this 1981 Bible study from Mr. Armstrong. The Sabbath principle was enforced in real life for the ancient Israelites. Exodus 16 shows how God would rain this sweet bread, this manna from heaven, while the Israelites were wandering about. God was the reason they were able to survive. He worked a miracle to deliver this sweet bread for them to eat. And they were instructed every day to go out and pick up just enough manna for them to sustain themselves that day. Overnight, the manna would rot, so there was no point to trying to keep a surplus or pack the pantry. On Friday, God instructed the Israelites to gather up twice as much manna as they normally would. This was hard physical labor. They had to go work for their meals. But they gathered up twice as much on Friday, so they wouldn't have to gather up any on Saturday. When Friday night came and went, the manna that they had gathered up on Friday wasn't rotten on Saturday morning. God worked another miracle there to make sure that the food lasted longer than it normally did, and it would already be there for them on the Sabbath, so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath day. This is how a carnal nation, a sinful nation, really that was unable to obey God without the Holy Spirit, learned how to obey God at least as far as they possibly could physically. And it's really important to note that this happened before God officially gave them the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Exodus 16 is the story of manna. Exodus 20 lists out the Ten Commandments. So you see there, God expected the Israelites to obey this Sabbath day well before he officially wrote those Ten Commandments on stone for them and gave them to Moses. You see that right at creation, the Sabbath was actively created by God for human beings. The Sabbath predates Mount Sinai. And the Sabbath survives what traditional Christianity tries to do to it, which is basically cutting out all of the Old Testament. Exodus 31, verse 17 says that the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It's a sign forever. It's not a sign just until the end of the Old Testament or just until Jesus Christ comes around. It is a sign forever. God calls it my Sabbath. It's not the Jews' Sabbath. It's my Sabbath. He says the Sabbath is made for man, not for the Jews. He really tries to emphasize that the Sabbath is for every person for all time. There's no expiration date on keeping the Sabbath. God calls the Sabbath a holy day. This is a special day of the week. God doesn't bless the other days and call them holy like he does with Saturday. Sunday through Friday don't carry that same significance. They are not holy. You can see in Exodus 3 with the story of the burning bush how when we're talking about holy, we just mean that God's presence is in the thing. So with the burning bush, a bush by itself isn't holy. Fire isn't holy. Even a bush on fire by itself is not holy. But when that bush is on fire, because God is in that bush, well, the whole bush becomes holy, and that's why God told Moses to take off his shoes. You're standing on holy ground because my presence is here in this burning bush. That's Exodus 3. The same principle is true with the Sabbath day. The day itself, Saturday itself, would not be holy, but God's presence is in that day. That is what makes that day holy. That's what makes that day special from any other. And that's why we can't just pick whatever day of the week we want. God has to pick that day, and God makes it important. We can't just pick Wednesday or Thursday for no reason. We can't pick Sunday. That might be controversial to a lot of people, and yet it is the truth. So the Sabbath really is just such a beautiful day. It does identify God's true people. There are people who say they keep the Sabbath, and maybe they don't keep it the right way. Maybe they have added a lot of burdensome restrictions, ticky-tack laws that really do make it hard to obey the Sabbath. And yet the Sabbath really is supposed to be a joy. I remember when I was in a public school well over a decade ago now, but I used to get teased by my baseball teammates. They would say, "Turgeon, are you going to turn into a werewolf whenever the sun sets Friday night? Is that what's going to happen? Can't you sneak into the restroom, lock yourself in there, and play video games that way so your parents don't see?" That's just, you know, silly questions like that. They were just teasing, but why would I want to do that when the Sabbath is really such a wonderful day, when it's such a blessing? Why would I want to turn to what I can already do the other 6 days of the week? What would be the point of that? I can't even really imagine what it must be like to have to live without the Sabbath, because I never have. My whole life I've gotten to live with the Sabbath. I already feel swamped by worldly concerns already, but work, family, school, whatever it might be. when it comes to Friday, and if Saturday weren't there as a reset, it just seems like it would be an endless slog through life. This day really is special. Mr. Armstrong talked about how he would make it a goal to pray and study for an hour each every day, but then on the Sabbath he would really make sure to do it for 2 hours each. He would really try to show God that he was completely to be used by God and to serve his purpose on that day, not to do his own will, not to think his own thoughts, not to do anything that would distract him from building a closer relationship with his Creator. The Sabbath really is just such a wonderful part of the lives of true Christians. And like Mr. Armstrong said, it does identify his true people. A lot of traditional Christians have done away with the Ten Commandments altogether, but some at least can see the value in all 10 of them. Well, except for the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? When it comes to the fourth commandment, they no longer quite see the use for it. The one commandment that is the identifying sign of God's people, like Mr. Armstrong said, it's like a sign outside of a shop, you know, saying, you know, Anderson's Grocery. This grocery store is owned by Anderson. The Sabbath is a sign on us that shows that God rules us and that we submit to him. And that's really just a beautiful thing. There's nothing miserable about that. There's nothing burdensome. There's nothing that we're missing out on by keeping the Sabbath. It's just a delight. It's something that we look forward to every week. And even all the more so if we do what that command says and work hard the other 6 days. Then when we can relax physically but work hard spiritually, even more so on the Sabbath, the contrast is even more obvious. So we've just been talking today a bit about the Sabbath and using this wonderful September 11th, 1981 Bible study from Mr. Armstrong as some of our source material. Really just a powerful Bible study. And you could tell, I could tell just from reading the transcript of this, that he could have talked about this subject all night long. He could have really just gone into the entire next day talking about the Sabbath because he loves it so much, because it changed his life. He deeply proved it, and then he lived it, and it changed his life. It really did revolutionize Mr. Armstrong's life. The same can be true of any of us if we keep this day. And sometimes it does involve faith. Sometimes it does involve missing out on a weekend baseball tournament, which was my experience many times, or maybe not getting a promotion at work because we can't come in on Saturdays. But those things are so easily offset by the vision of the Sabbath, that vision of the world tomorrow when there will be peace. It won't be human beings oppressing and abusing one another, calling for boycotts of Israel like we heard in the top of the hour news, whatever it might be. And there's just so much depressing material in the news now, and it could almost make you go crazy. And that won't be the case in the world tomorrow, that 1,000 years. Mr. Armstrong said, if you have a bad Sabbath, you'll have a bad week. Have a good Sabbath, and you'll think of 1,000 years as a day. So we've been talking about the Sabbath today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.